This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Whether scoping out plasma screen HD TVs or picking up a PlayStation 4, consumers upgrading their entertainment systems this Christmas are generally looking for products promising a better picture, superior sound, or next-generation graphics. We have come a very long way since the VHS and the Atari 2600. So far, in fact, that one may wonder how much better the visuals and the sounds and graphics on entertainment systems can get. And would the casual user even be able to tell the difference? With me to talk about where entertainment technology can go from here is Jamin Warren. He's founder and editor-in-chief at Killscreen. That's a video, arts, and culture magazine. Great to have you back with us, Jamin.
Nice to see you too, or to hear you anyway.
Also with us, Slate columnist Carl Wilson. Hello, Carl.
Hi, Virginia.
And David Ewalt, a returning guest, senior editor at Forbes. Great to have you back with us, David.
It's nice to be here.
Now, David, I'm going to start with you. If you are watching a Blu-ray disc or a liquid plasma television, you could pretty much see every pore on an actor's face, which, I don't know, can be kind of unsettling. Can home entertainment visuals really look much better than this?
Well, I think we're certainly getting to a point where we're polishing an already shiny spoon to an ever brighter and brighter sheen. But you can make improvements. I mean, when we look at things like plasma TVs and LCD TVs, manufacturers right now are talking about 4K TVs, which, you know, it's four times the resolution of today's 1080p screens. So they are going to get better. You are going to see higher definition. But, you know, we kind of reached a point where things are great and they're just going to get slightly more great.
I'm wondering if the technology can actually jump ahead of how watchers or viewers perceive things. I'm remembering Peter Jackson's first Hobbit film. It was about this time last year. Now, do you remember this? It was filmed in a special high frame rate. Afterwards, a lot of people said they just preferred the old-fashioned version. Now, what was going on there?
Well, and a lot of people said when they watched the high frame rate film that it actually made them nauseous or gave them headaches. I think some of that is genuine, that, you know, new technologies are going to, people are going to react to them in different ways sort of physically. But also there's always going to be a little bit of just sort of a fear and uncertainty about, well, I don't know if I like this new thing. I always think of the story, it may be apocryphal, but there's the story about one of the very first motion pictures. And there's a famous film of a train driving directly towards the film camera. And the story is that the people in the theater watching that first motion picture, when they saw the train driving towards them, they freaked out and they ran out of the theater because they thought it was going to come bursting through the screen. And I think it's just, you always run into something like that when people talk about new technology. People are just unready for it and it's unfamiliar.
Well, Jamin, technology is usually embraced by those video game users. Two new consoles now on the market, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Video game graphics have come so far. Are the graphics provided by these two consoles really that much better than their predecessors?
Well, I guess that depends on who you ultimately ask. I mean, for folks who've been sort of following games for quite some time, graphics have been the one way that consoles traditionally have differentiated themselves. So harkening back to the Sega Genesis, you know, Super Nintendo days, there was this big competition about who could do things. And you see that, you know, publishers and game makers, they trot out these terms like blast processing and Mode 7 technology. So graphics has always been this kind of like sleight of hand, a way for game makers to sort of at least convince the going public that something is ostensibly better, more future forward. And for, you know, for quite some time, it was very easy to tell a difference from one generation to another. So the difference in graphics going from 2D to 3D, for example, very, very noticeable difference. Mm-hmm. But now we've kind of reached this point where a lot of the things that are happening in the world of high resolution graphics aren't things necessarily that people might notice. So that might be things like pupils that dilate when they go into sunlight, for example, or blades of grass rustling. These are all things that I think are excellent from a technical standpoint, but for most everyday consumers, they're probably not going to notice the difference. And I think in some ways, graphics have been a distraction for game makers, that it's very expensive to, you know, sort of create each additional layer of, you know, cinematic realism. And ultimately, you know, if you look at the progression of, you know, art over the night from the 19th to 20th century, once photography was discovered, all of a sudden realism and painting was not nearly as important. And so my hope, I think, for games and for the gaming public is that, you know, as we sort of approach this place where things are becoming so incredibly realistic, this is an opportunity to take a step back and look at all the other ways that games can express themselves in new ways and new forms.
Carl Wilson over at Slate Music. When the MP3 first took off, audiophiles decried these digital formats were going to be lower quality, no way to keep your music. Do you think the average consumer really cares about the difference between an MP3 or an MP4A or a CD?
I don't think so. I mean, certainly there are people who are still audiophiles in one way or another and concern themselves with that. But I think for everyone else, the convenience has become the biggest question. You know, music sort of had its high-end, high-tech period during the sort of hi-fi 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And then again, in the CD era, starting in the 90s, there was another focus on sound quality. But now it's kind of all about portability and how much you can store on a device that you're taking with you, and also about mutability, about being able to take the files and do things with them on your own and being able to remix and change them. And most of those things don't have too much to do with sound quality. And on one hand, that's a good thing because, you know, during when you think of sort of hi-fi music, where that ended up leading us with, and people were obsessed with fidelity and stereo separation, was kind of into the prog rock gray zone, you know, where listening to the dynamics and the colors on your headphones was kind of a focus, and that actually affected how music was made. Mm-hmm. And there ended up being sort of a backlash against that, kind of a back to basics thing in punk that was partly against exactly that kind of hi-fi mode of listening. But on the other hand, the problem you have with MP3s is that you get really narrow bands sonically, so that music has become more compressed. Everything's kind of louder, and you kind of lose the dynamics. It's harder for there to be a really colorful sense of highs and lows in the same way. And so, you know, there's something that's lost, but I think that mostly people are concentrated on what's been gained in the MP3 era.
Mm. I know that there are musicians and engineers. I'm thinking of Neil Young, for example, who has gone on a sort of a rant on how to better save digital music with more quality. But is that a real selling point? You know, as we have on a video game console, superior sound, great graphics. Is a full band of audio quality even a selling point for people who are listening to music?
I mean, I think it could be if you could combine that with all of the advantages that people are currently enjoying, feeling like they can carry their whole music collection with them wherever they go. But I think also people like Neil Young are thinking in the long term. You know, one of the concerns with lower quality files is that storage and preservation over the long term start to become an issue. And the idea that these files might degrade and that we might not have in the long run high quality records of the music that's been made in our time, that's something to think about. And I think it's something that Neil Young, as an experienced person who's seen the condition of music archives in many cases, even under the best of circumstances, is concerned about.
Okay, so you each have 30 seconds for our last question. Hypothetically speaking, if picture or sound quality could not get any better, what then will product developers and marketers focus on? What's the sales pitch of the future for televisions and video game consoles and digital music? David?
I think we're already seeing a little bit of that future. If you look at the way people are selling TVs and video game consoles right now, they talk about graphics, but the people who make TVs are selling the TVs by saying, this is a smart TV. It connects to the internet. It has apps. It connects to Netflix. You can Skype with your friends and Twitter them. Microsoft, in selling the new Xbox One, sure, they talk about that it plays games, but more than anything, they're really promoting this thing connects to your TV. You can watch your shows. You can hang out with your friends. And I think that's the focus of future marketing.
How about you, Jamin?
Well, it's my sincere hope that we move to maybe my other more esoteric categories. So perhaps like smell or weight, you know, those are things that I think the really discerning video game player should be considering when purchasing their new consoles.
How about for you, Carl? I'm not sure that smell of music is what I'm looking for, but any ideas?
No, I think that it's true that sort of connectivity and interactivity is one of the things that people will be looking at in the future. But I think it's also this sort of ever more intimate experience. You know, the future of a music player is sort of ideally that you'll just think of a song and it'll start playing in your head, right? So the closer we can get to that ideal.
That was Carl Wilson. He is Slate Music columnist. Thank you for being with us. And David Ewald, senior editor at Forbes, Jamin Warren, founder and editor-in-chief at Killscreen. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
Now, you
Thank
can you. Find more on the Hobbit high frame rate debacle. Watch Jamin's PBS Digital short on whether graphics really matter and look at more related to where we're going technologically in music, video games, and television and films. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.
walking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Never mind the plasma screen HD TVs and PlayStation 4. NHPR transcends all the bells and whistles to offer what is most essential in life, news and ideas. Here at Word of Mouth, exploring new ideas is important to us, and so is your support. In fact, it's essential. Here's how you can help.